Hello, welcome again to Comic Connoisseurs. Tonight we'll be talking about Spider-Woman. Which one? The answer is yes. You, of course, know my co-host, J.D. from Saskatoon.
Oh, joy.
And also with us is professional animator, Pablo Prano.
De donde vienes, mujer araña.
And as always, we're going to start with the solicitations. So let's take a look here. We have some 12-gauge comics, Ice Critical Mass, number 2 of 4. Know nothing about this, guys.
Oh.
Looks like some black and white work. Oh, it's about the customs and border patrol.
Immigration and customs enforcement.
Okay, moving on. We got the Gold Digger Christmas special from Antarctic Press.
Think you'll be able to find this one, Ben?
Nobody in my area carries Antarctic Press. Makes me mad. I have to order it.
I almost purchased it to their website. And I'm also so that helps.
Yes, you are a member of Antarctic Press, so you get some ins there. We got a Betty Morocco Comics Digest, number 229 at Archie Comics. Some Sonic Fur Fag stuff as well. We have some Aspen Comics where people try to draw like the late Michael Turner. So there's only one face.
You know, I actually saw this Michael Turner X-Men t-shirt at a local con recently. I didn't know it was his. You know, I thought I was familiarized with all of Michael Turner's work, but suddenly this pretty awesome t-shirt came around with all of the classic X-Men in it, and I was pleasantly surprised. So, yeah, that's it. Go on.
Okay. We have some Boom Studio with Adventure Time. Come on, grab your friends. Bee and Puppy Cat, number 7.
Oh, wait. Can you hear what I hear?
Kitty Hawk saying squee.
Squeeing in Australia.
We have Big Trouble in Little China, number 7 for JT here.
I when I first heard that this title was coming out, I was, okay, Eric Powell's doing the art in it, and, you know, I loved his work on The Goon. I think that would be a good mix for the story. It's just, I was kind of uncertain of how well it may or may not work out, and I'm completely unfounded because it's absolutely brilliant work. You can hear the voice of Victor Wong as Egg Shen.
We have some other comics here. We got some Dark Horse Comics with the still ongoing Buffy season 10, which is shite. Sorry to say, but it is. It really is.
No, it's not.
Oh yes, it is.
No, I haven't read any of the new series. I completed season 8. Or is it season 9? Yeah, season 8, and that pretty much was it for me.
Yes.
Haven't purchased any of the other titles.
I've enjoyed the new seasons of Buffy. I mean, they haven't all been stellar, I'm not going to lie, but, you know, if you're a fan of the show, there's stuff to enjoy.
Yeah. We got some DC Comics, and moving on, we have some Dynamite Entertainment with Alice Cooper, number 4.
Yeah, what's up with that? Because, you know, I just purchased the Humble Bundle, and there's Alice Cooper, number 1, there. I'm curious about it.
I was just going to say, Pablo, like, did you ever listen to The Last Temptation from Alice Cooper?
No.
Okay. It was kind of a concept album. Marvel Comics published a small graphic novel based on ideas, you know, from, like, the concept that Alice Cooper came up with, and this is kind of going back to that, where he's this kind of, it's Alice Cooper by way of Gaiman's Sandman with a whole lot of rock and roll.
So this is the Psycho Circus thingy?
Kind of, sorry.
Battle and doing the comics.
Kind of, sorry.
Video games and all that?
Yeah.
Oh, I get it. Well, right, we got some extra Bob's Burgers comics if you guys want.
No, you can't even throw those away. Anyways.
Oh, that's too bad, because that's the only way you'll get to read Django and Zorro.
It's the wrong Django.
Let's see. Don Vampirella.
We got
Don Vampirella? Nice.
We got some $6 Million Man season 6. Moving further down, we have some IDW with they actually made Garbage Pail Kids comic.
Yeah, they're coming back.
We have some Judge Dredd, Anderson Side Division. That's going to be a fun read.
Are you not reading My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, Ben?
I did not read My Little Pony, Friendship is Magic, JT.
Oh, don't lie. You probably got a big stash of My Little Pony hidden somewhere in your apartment.
JT, we know you're the biggest Pegasister around.
I'm not going to lie. I got a Doctor Who's on my shelf, but that's as far as it goes.
They actually made a figure out of him?
Yeah.
Wow. We got some Marvel comics here with...
You skipped over the best comic in IDW, Ben. Ninja Turtles Meet Ghostbusters.
I so want that. I need to get it.
It's so good. It makes me just a little bit sad that the title, the Ghostbusters title, is over now.
So we have a Spider-Woman number one here with Greg Land doing the cover.
Oh,
this is a Spider-Verse crossover I was telling you about, the one that's actually written better than Spider-Verse. Oh, God, Spider-Verse sucks. What could have been as fun as the Spider-Man's Shattered Dimensions game became like this really horrible, preachy Dan Slott thing.
I'm sorry, a gigantic Spider-Man crossover event has snowballed and is going on longer than necessary in order to make more money for the parent company? Say this is so.
I'm just saying that Spider-Man's Shattered Dimensions was great.
I'm sorry, if you scratch beneath the surface of any given page of a Spider-Verse comic, you can almost see the unused or unsold issues of the Clone Saga. Now, don't get me wrong, I am reading this from start to finish, and I'm reading every chapter because, damn it, I need this. I don't know why, but I need this.
Admit it, Shared Dimensions is better.
Well, fuck yeah. NPH is amazing.
Both written by the same person.
Yeah. NPH is Amazing Spider-Man, come on.
We got, moving further down, we have some Valiant Entertainment with Archer and Armstrong, Volume 6.
Woohoo!
We got some Viz with some manga that people already read months ago. And finally, JT's favorite, Xenoscope Entertainment.
What's up with McFarlane? There's a McFarlane press by itself. You know, this is not like Image Comics. This is Farland.
McFarland, with a D, not an E.
Oh, okay. That explains a lot. Because I couldn't picture him drawing graphic details. Jewish Twist confessional comics.
Sorry, Pablo got so excited there, folks.
Yes.
You can hear it.
But
Pablo, did you almost squee?
It wasn't close. Exactly squeeing. It was more like shrieking. I'm not sure how that acts at all.
But anyways, we'll take a brief break, and when we come back, we'll have the topic of the show. And JT's going to take out his beer cans.
They're empty Coke cans, Ben.
It's time for intermission, boys and girls.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and AnimationAficionados.com.
Hey, I'm Gary.
I'm Mike.
I'm Chuck.
And I'm Justin.
Join the four of us every week on the Internet's number one and longest-running G.I. Joe podcast, What's on Joe Mind?
It's Joe news, reviews, and interviews like you've never heard them before, delivered right to your MP3 player.
Our guests include Jason Marsden, Kevin Michael Richardson, and Matt Yang King from G.I. Joe Renegades, Larry Hama, Robert Adkins, and John Barber from IDW Publishing, and many more from around the online Joe community.
Yeah, it's guys talking about Joe. Think of it as Joe Talk meets Sports Talk. And we make fun of Chuck.
Right, and we... Hey, again?
Come on, Chuck. We're just kidding, kinda.
Sometimes Chuck makes fun of himself.
Right, and we... Okay, seriously, this is just getting ridiculous now.
It's What's on Joe Mind, every week on the GeekCast Radio Network, InsidePulse.com, Stitcher Smart Radio, and iTunes. Download and listen today.
I suppose I still can't say something about Transformers, can I?
Good grief.
No.
What about sports?
That sounds good.
Yeah, that's all right.
It's action. It's drama. It's comedy. It's DeCian, the superhero webcomic. DeCian's got superhero antics and sexy girls. Read it now at DeCian.com. DASIEN.com.
And now, back to the show.
All right. And we're back to talk about the topic of the show, which is Spider-Woman. As you know, the first Spider-Woman that showed up in comics was Jessica Drew, who first showed up in 1977.
I believe her codename was Arachne by then.
And, you know, the first Spider-Woman was this character who was originally a Hydra agent that that later joined the side of good, and her backstory is a little complicated, but you know, they actually did a miniseries that updated it and sort of fixed the biggest flubs in it. The best way to put this is years and years ago, when they first created Spider-Woman, they were going to make it to where she was a spider that was hyper-evolved by the High Evolutionary. Well, you know, after someone said, hey, that doesn't make a lick of sense, they're like, they went with this other story instead, where Jessica Drew was a little girl when she was bitten by, you know, when she was infected with radiation, and her father injected her with the experimental spider venom serum to fix her radiation sickness. That put her into a coma for 10 years of her life. When she woke up, she was a young adult, and she was tricked into Hydra into being a Hydra agent until she finally, you know, was convinced by S.H.I.E.L.D. that, you know, she was working for the bad guys. That was the original Jessica Drew Spider-Woman origin.
And that made a whole lot more sense than her updated origin.
All right, JT, you take it away.
Because I read that miniseries flipping through at the Stanza store. So, borrowing a page from the 90s Spider-Man cartoon on Fox, her mother's womb was hit by a laser beam containing the DNA traits of several different species of spiders.
The neogenic recombinator, maybe?
Yeah, she got neogenic recombinated. So, apparently that makes more sense than her dying of radiation poisoning and her father using the old tried and true, well, let's see what this random serum does to my kid. That's kind of like the Wizard's origin, like the Golden Age speedster character who he's bit by a rattlesnake or some poisonous snake, and his father decides, well, the mongoose is the natural enemy of the snake. His blood will cure him, and somehow that randomly gave him super speed powers.
Are you talking about the Wizard?
The Wizard.
Nobody can defeat him. Nobody can beat the Wizard. Because no, he's the Wizard. Close. I'm making a Seinfeld reference.
So yeah, I'm gonna go. Let's just say that somebody was really high when they wrote the new origin of Jessica Drew.
And her costume is a classic costume. I mean, we're talking about a costume. You know, it's just, she was created by Archie Goodwin and Maurice Severin, and her costume is a classic costume. We're talking about the web pits. And actually, a funny thing is you know, when Spider-Woman first came out, you know, she actually, you know, to operate under the name of Spider-Woman, she actually talked to Spider-Man and got his permission to use it, which, you know, decades later in comics came across as this very hilarious throwaway line in when Brian Michael Bendis was doing Avengers with the art by Frank Cho, where Spider-Man complains about all the Spider-Women that are running around, and Spider-Woman says, hey, I asked permission, and Spider-Man says, I didn't know you were going to make a franchise.
Yeah.
And honestly, I got to say that those two have to be written together more often because these are two very veteran heroes with very different lifestyles, but because, you know, Spider-Woman is established as her own hero, as Spider-Man is, and there's very different types of heroes themselves.
It has no traces of Peter Parker's suit on it.
Yeah,
it's its own thing.
And like I said, because of that, they just play off each other so well. Because it's like I'm not your junior. They both treat each other as equals. And a great example of this is when Spider-Man, you know, and her are on a stakeout in an issue of Mighty Avengers, and Spider-Man mentions his spider sense is tingling, and because her power set is different, she says, "Are you hitting on me?" And he's like, "No."
Sorry, you go, Pablo.
No, you go first.
I was just gonna say the whole pheromone thing kind of came. One story I really enjoyed is an issue of Amazing just prior to the whole Spider Island storyline a couple of years ago, where Spider-Man had completely lost his spider sense due to the machinations of the Spider Slayer, and he comes across the Mandrill, who's like this half-man, half-baboon supervillain, yes, in the Marvel Universe, who uses pheromones to control females. And he's going on this robbery spree just walking down the streets of Manhattan. He's in, like, a fine suit. He's got all these supermodels with him. And he makes the joke that, you know, maybe next time women who work out, like, pro wrestlers or something, it's like, geez, I need something with more meat in the bones. And then Spider-Woman tries to get him, and she gets whammied. And it's just her kicking the crap out of Spider-Man until he has light bulb. And he purposely gets himself thrown into the perfume counter at like Sears and Roebuck. So now he's reeking of more perfume than your average grandmother. And that clears the pheromones out of Jessica Drew's nose so they can then go and lay waste to the Mandrill. and it wasn't like that wasn't really the main focus of the story, but that was like kind of like the A plot to the B plot of Spider-Man not having his, you know, spider sense. But it was just the again, like Ben was saying, like the back and forth, like the dialogue, the way Peter and Jessica play off of each other is something I've really grown into enjoying, the few encounters that they've had.
And one of my other favorite ones is when Peter mentions something else to her and she retorts back, "Well, I want web shooters."
Because, and it's like, you got a Venom blast.
And like I said, it's that kind of comedy because they are two established heroes that have their own history that, other than having spider powers, different spider powers at that, have their own worlds and their own things that don't really converge. Well, except for the other, when they did Spider-Man the Other, they actually said outright that they are connected to the same spider totem, which is now why they have the Spider-Verse thing going on. And yeah, I mean,
well, I like the current when the whole new Peter Parker's back on Amazing Spider-Man. You know, he's having one of those Parker luck days, like he's, you know, he ends up nude and being filmed and stuff like that. And this was just after Superior Spider-Man.
Yes.
So people were still, you know, not entirely sure that it was Peter again. And when, you know, he shows up on TV saying, "No, we can't let the Human Torch see this," being naked on TV, Steve Rogers and Jessica are both, you know, Jessica has this, like, a cup of tea on her hand.
Like, it's him.
They're both watching the TV, and she just goes like, "Yeah, that's Pete."
Yeah, where he goes to Avengers Tower, he's like, "I brought cookies."
Oh yeah,
and Jessica's like, "These are good," and Peter's like, "I know, right?"
Yes, I love that.
Like I said,
I just want to say as a quick aside, I love that convention of comic books where somebody gets mind whammied or they've been replaced by their evil double, and when they go to like, no, it's me, and like somebody, they say like that one thing, you have these two characters in unison say, "It's him."
Yeah. Prove it. You're a dick. Okay.
Well, speaking of Jessica and Peter being such different characters, there's this thing that's been popping up in my head.
Are you going to bring up Ultimate?
No.
Where they actually undo that in a big way.
The Spider-Woman list and the most awkward hugger. But what I meant is that Jessica Drew, Spider-Woman, is a very separate entity, even in legal rights, when it comes to the comics and, you know, the character itself. So I'm pretty sure that Marvel has the rights to Jessica Drew as Spider-Woman.
Yes, I believe they do.
So, and given that she started out as an Hydra agent and then a S.W.O.R.D. agent and all that, I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, part of this whole makeover that they're giving her now is to get her on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
That well, they brought on Mockingbird.
Yeah, that's pretty much why I'm pondering on it.
But let's move on to the second Spider-Woman, Julia Carpenter. This is actually the only one that was brought into modern animation in the
Iron Man cartoon series.
Yes, mm-hmm. And her powers are, again, you know, not exactly like Julia, you know, aren't exactly like Jessica Drew's or Peter Parker's either. I mean, her powers are like, you know, it seems like every Spider-Woman gets like a different power set, honestly.
Pretty much, yeah.
You mean the psi webs?
Yeah. And clairvoyance. I think that's kind of like a higher version of spider set, I guess. It's a...
Yeah, that's something that they Jessica Drew in the cartoon, on the old cartoon. Mm-hmm. She had like this sort of clairvoyance as well. But that was absent from the comics.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I remember, because when I was reading Secret War when I was a kid growing up, I mean, that's where, you know, Julia Carpenter first appeared, was during Secret War, because the battle world was made out of, like, chunks of all these different planets, and they, I think, what is it, they grabbed Denver, Colorado. Or is that Secret Wars 2, I'm thinking?
You think that's Secret Wars 2, but...
The one where she showed up.
Julia Carpenter does play a part in the first Secret Wars, in when Peter Parker was looking for that, gee, this looks like a costume fixer-upper machine. you know, subconsciously, he had in his mind the Julia Carpenter Spider-Woman costume, which is how the Venom suit got its look.
That's true.
So, so there you go. And
I love how her origin, too, because I'm just, like, looking on the wiki here, she's friends with a long-standing Marvel character, Val Cooper, who was, like, the director of X-Factor in the Peter David run in the 90s, and she's working for the commission. They convinced her to be part of an athletic study, and they accidentally, you can't see my finger quotes, but they accidentally injected Julia with a mix of spider venom and exotic plant extracts.
Yeah, you know, just your regular
mad scientist is like, hey,
poison.
Yeah, I'm going to create a supervillain that can make people sneeze just by breathing on them. What are you going to call her? Paprika. You know, that's the mentality that this, like, this is the commission. It was a governmental body who thought they knew what they were doing, and we're going to create a superhero that's going to work for us. How are we going to give her powers? Squeeze some juice out of that spider and squeeze the juice out of that dead plant.
Sometimes it works. I mean, it's a, but
pour over ice and shake well. I'm sorry, it's just, what happened to the good old days of somebody falling backwards into a particle collider or letting a radioactive animal of some type bite you? That is all you need to do to explain the origin of superpowers.
Well, the thing is, we have to talk about with Julia Carpenter is she did eventually get a more psychic role as, like, the second Madam Web in a sort of fashion. And
during the Gauntlet storyline.
Yes, and again, she also sort of takes this, like, advisor slash, like, all-seeing role in the spider characters verse, even though, like I said earlier, they really don't interact with each other as much as you'd think. It's not like they have, like, a spider convention where they all show up and be like, well, gee, we have three new people this week. It's, again, they just sort of exist in this realm that's almost related but separate enough that they don't collide with each other. And I think that sort of works pretty well. We have, moving on to the third Spider-Woman, we have Maddie Franklin, which we were talking about on the pre-show.
She gained the powers on the Gathering 5 ceremony where Madame Web was involved, as well as Norman Osborn, that he got crazy. Yeah. As hell.
Oh, crazy. He was now crazier than a rabbit wheel in a room full of rocking chairs. But yeah, and I mean, that. And her, Sorry, you go, Pablo.
No, I just recall that there was like this, she had her own series spin-off, and it had actually all the other Spider-Man show up, because there was yet another Spider-Woman stealing their powers.
Yes.
And it ends with Matty Franklin stealing all of their powers combined.
With all their powers combined.
She is Captain Spider-Woman. I just love her. The first time we see Matty Franklin comic books is in the late, mid to late 90s, when they rebooted the Spider-Man titles with all new number ones. And John Byrne was kind of head of the writing for, because they only had Amazing and Peter Parker, and then, you know, a new Sensational, a new Web of Spider-Man came out. And Peter had given up being Spider-Man, but there was still this Spider-Man swinging around town. And basically, Matty was cosplaying as Spider-Man, because Spider-Man needs to be out there doing his thing. And Peter was like, yeah, no. And eventually, he's like, okay.
And the thing is Matty Franklin also has a tie-in with the mutant growth hormone drug, where she was drugged and basically kept locked up, and she's used to create the mutant growth hormone that's sold on the street to give people powers. And
no, that's how she ended up.
Yes.
I get her, because she was freakishly overpowered. Like, she could fly and punch holes through stuff. I believe, actually, that her powers originally didn't involve any spider powers at all. She could fly and punch walls. Something like that. But, you know, she eventually stole the Spider-Woman's powers. So, but still.
Yeah. Because I remember reading the Loners miniseries, which was this. It was basically a story about the support group of, like, ex-teen/college-age heroes in, like, Los Angeles. And Maddie's a part of it. And they got guys like Darkhawk and Turbo from New Warriors and Ricochet from the Slingers. And the whole idea that she was on the whole mutant growth hormone thing is she went on the first date with this guy who slipped her a roofie, and that's how they captured her. And they just kept her tied up and kept dosing her with, like, psychoactive drugs on the wiki, whatever that means. And they were just basically harvesting her blood to create, you know, mutant growth hormone. I was like, okay.
And like I said, growth hormone was a plot device for Patriot of the Young Avengers, because he had no powers and he pretended he had super soldier powers by taking mutant growth hormones, which also made him an aggressive asshole that no one liked. And
then she's kidnapped by Kraven the Hunter's ex-wife, who uses her in a mystic ceremony to prove that she can resurrect her dead husband by first resurrecting one of her sons, who somehow randomly mutates into a lion man, probably due to the lion hair and the vest he was wearing. I don't know. That's the best I could come up with.
And yeah, and she's killed. She's dead.
She's dead.
But looking back at the Spider-Woman that we did mention before, you know, we have, as I said before, we have the Jessica Drew, we have Julia Carpenter, and...
Oh, there was the super villainous Spider-Woman who was
Charlotte
introduced.
Witter?
Yeah, who was a mutant created by Dr. Octopus, and she was also Madame Web's granddaughter.
And she had
comics people.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, she has weird arms as well.
Well, that's where the whole thing with Maddie observing the other Spider-Woman powers is, because the evil Spider-Woman was charged by Doc Ock to, like, take out all the other Spider-Woman and absorb their powers through her particular genetic shtick. And then when Maddie kicked her ass, Maddie took her powers. And as Ben said, yeah, no.
And we also have to talk about the actual Spider-Girls as well, because there's also Arana, who also goes by Spider-Girl.
Arana is Anya Corazon. And she's going by Spider-Girl and wearing Julie Carpenter's outfit by now. She also had, you know, she originally had this whole weird spider totem tattoos cult thing going on. But eventually
the spiders.
Yeah, there was a war between these two weird clans of Wasp versus Spider. But eventually lost her powers, but regained them during the Spider Island incident, where the wasps started killing everyone who was infected by spiders, and she started, you know, defending people. She actually made an alliance with the Kingpin, and eventually, when the war was over, she kept the spider powers and didn't mutate any longer, you know, unlike all the other infected people in New York.
Well, did she get her powers back or a version of Peter's back? Because everyone who got infected got a version of Peter's powers.
It's a mix between Peter's powers and kind of what she had previously.
Yeah, sort of. It's not so much different from, you know, what she had before, but she behaves mostly as if she had Peter's powers. That's pretty much it. You know, the organic kind, mostly. Yes. But then we also have in the MC2 universe, I like to call her the original Spider-Girl, which is May Mayday Parker, who is Peter's daughter.
And spinning out of one of my favorite issues of What If, because that's, and a lot of people, like friends of mine that I've talked with about spider characters, you know, and stuff of the sort, not a lot of people remember that she is the basis, and that's where the entire MC2 line came from, was, you know, What If Volume 2 105, you know, what if Spider-Man's daughter lived? What if the bundle that woman that kidnapped their daughter and shuffled off into the arms of one of Norman Osborn's cronies, you know, the spider baby's still out there somewhere.
Well, they actually teased that with the renewed vows teaser that shows.
Oh yeah, that has the young May and Peter Parker being married to Mary Jane. Yeah, that's one of the Secret Wars things that are coming, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Or is it out there already? I don't know.
It's coming out next year. But go ahead.
Here's the thing. Is Mayday, and this is something I've never been able to figure out on my own, is she technically a mutant?
Yes.
Oh, that's some of the things that, you know, they haven't... She is technically a mutant.
If you're born with the powers, you're a mutant.
She is a mutant, yeah, but it's not like a Marvel mutant. Like, does she have the Sentinel
as an enhanced being? But it
so she doesn't have the X factor, basically.
I believe she has, but Marvel's been sort of weird about it.
It's like
they don't want to say that she's a mutant from a weird breed, but she totally is.
There is another Spider-Woman character we have to bring up that isn't called Spider-Woman. I personally hate this character because she's intolerable. I'm talking about Silk.
I barely read some of her. I don't know. I have to see it play out. But so far, I'm not exactly hooked on her at all. I only have the first volume of the new Amazing Run. You know, the one that ends after the confrontation with Felicia.
Yes.
And Electro. So I don't know how she handles after this initial shock.
Well, not a fan of her personality so far. Here's the origin. And I don't disagree with her origin per se, because why not, but she was also bitten by the same radioactive spider that gave Peter powers.
I know her origin. She was in the same exhibition, but then Ezekiel found her and had her locked up because Morlun would come and kill every spider and stuff like that. But
don't say Morlun, just say she got locked up because of reasons.
Yeah, but the thing is that I don't exactly... You know, I haven't seen her do much except make out with Peter and, you know, kick ass. So I have no real stance when it comes to her, because that's all I know so far.
And you know, that's why I brought up the Spider-Woman title, the new one, because that one actually has her teaming up with Jessica Drew, and like I said, Jessica Drew has to kind of quasi train her, and we have this character, basically just have to, you know, being treated as a noob when before in the title. She's treated as this ass kicker when, you know, she's been locked in a vault for all her life. But, you know, what I enjoy about how she's being handled, like on Spider-Woman, is, again, you know, compared to Jessica Drew, she's a noob, and she's being treated rightfully as a noob. Because, you know, Jessica Drew complains about, oh, she almost got my team wiped out because she jumps the gun, she doesn't understand how to be patient, and, you know, you see some more about that because like I said, you have veteran heroes with younger heroes, and it doesn't matter how ass-kicking Dan Slott writes them in his book. The other writers see, well, yeah, okay, yeah, she has these powers, but, you know, she's still nothing compared to the original Spider-Woman.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, when it comes to Silk's personality and that, so far I know very little of her, and that's not something I'm a big fan of, you know, unlike, you know, May or Anya. Those are spider women / girls that I am more fond of when it comes to their personalities and stuff.
And also,
while Silk is, I don't know, meh.
I agree with you. I think part of the thing, and also what they did to Mayday's life in Spider-Verse really pissed me off. It's because, again, you know,
I heard they killed Peter there.
They killed Peter and MJ.
MJ as well?
Yes.
Sons of bitches. They just can't have any universe where they're happy together.
Actually, they Dan Slott, quote, spared the newspaper strip Peter and MJ.
Yeah, because Morlin, every time they switched panels, Peter would repeat what he was saying previously, and Marlin just at the end, he's like, threw up his arms and marched back through his portal, screw this noise, and just left. Because Peter, they kept repeating what he said previously, and he just, you just said that, what the hell is going on here? That's how the newspaper strip Spider-Man escaped death, by annoying the villain into leaving his dimension.
Well, with that, they're handling the killers, I believe that they're sort of draining the life energies. They're not actually causing any real biological harm. So I am hoping and crossing my fingers so that by the time they kill this main bad guy's life energy goes back to all the dead spiders and, all is fine as well because, you know, Disney. But, you know, I'm sort of that because I want some of these guys to leave, especially, you know, May's dad and Mary Jane. But, yeah, you know, maybe that's just me.
It's actually pretty bad. Let me show you what happened because it actually cheesed me off a little bit. And, the safe haven for all the Spider-Men in the Spider-Verse is Earth 13.
The Cosmic Spider-Man.
Yes.
Right?
Because Morlun knows the second he shows up there, he's dead. He's, like, super dead. And, let me show you what happened to May's family and life. Here you go.
Did not end well. It's a little heavy, I'm not gonna lie.
Well, I really like the way Slott draws May. I mean, Humberto Ramos.
Yes.
No, I do like Ramos's art here, but the whole idea that, you know, I'm not knocking the sacrifice, but clearly Mary Jane doesn't know what the F is going on.
Well, she could never leave him, and that's the Mary Jane we want versus the one where it's like, oh, I can leave you.
True.
And the old man Spider-Man, the one in the last spider costume, is actually Ezekiel. And, you know, it's like I said, this is the issue that, I mean, they killed every Spider-Man. They killed Spider-Man and His Amazing Friend Spider-Man. They killed
the host is free.
They make a point to say that they're not actually the same.
Here's a question. Did they kill the Electric Company Spider-Man?
Yes.
Aww. Man, I kind of wanted him to stay alive.
But that's what happened. I mean, I just don't want, I don't want this to be like a comic book snuff film. I want happy characters, doing happy things. But let's wrap this up. This was our episode on the various Spider-Women and why we love them so much. This is your host, Ben.
And JT from Saskatoon.
And Pablo Prino from Optimus Prino, the YouTube channel.
Yes. And we're saying goodnight.
So long.